Good morning, everyone. That morning gives us a promise of springtime. You can feel it in the air. I hope you can feel it. I feel it. That's possibly because I so much love this time of the year. It's so full of promise of good times to come. Now we're turning to the first chapter of the book of Ruth. First chapter of the book of Ruth. Read a few verses there, and then we're going to turn to the last chapter and read a few verses there. You will recall what it is we're doing. We have finished our study of Ruth as far as comparing Boaz and the Lord Jesus and seeing in Boaz a picture of Christ. But before I left the book, I did want to point out to you that, like all of Scripture, there's another layer for us to consider. And there is some prophetic truth set forth in the book of Ruth, again in picture form. I believe we can see in the story of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz a foreshadowing of events that lay well in the future as far as the days of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz were concerned, though some of the events foreshadowed here have actually taken place, and we'll look at that hopefully today. Now, we have looked at the departure of Israel, the falling away from God, and they're going into a time and a period of great darkness. That was pictured for us as Elimelech and his wife Naomi left Israel at a time of famine and went away to Moab. And they had dark experiences during that time, and that's the picture of Israel in its present state. It has departed from God, and it's under a great, great cloud, even God's judgment. Then we have looked at the ingathering of the Gentiles. Here you are today, a Gentile. If you're saved, you have been ingathered. That's the result of Israel's departure, because God turned from Israel to the Gentile nations, and the gospel was sent out to them. And throughout the world over the last 2,000 years, there has been a gathering in of the Gentiles. The gospel came to us here in this island. It came, I might say, many, many years ago. We can at least go back to the days of Patrick and discover the gospel being preached in those days with great power and great success. That was the ingathering of the Gentiles, and it was pictured for us by Ruth being saved. As a result of Elimelech and Naomi departing, that Ruth heard the truth and was converted to Christ. But we come now to another aspect of the picture that is here, the prophetic picture. We have the restoration of Israel, and that's pictured for us with the return of Naomi to her native land. She came back from Moab to Judah. And there's a day coming when there will be a wonderful restoration in the land of Israel. Now, 50, 60, 70 years ago, I would have stood here and said, one day the Jewish people will begin to return to their promised land, the land of Israel. But today I don't say that, I can't say that, because that return has taken place and is going on from day to day. In 1948, there appeared on the maps of the world the name Israel for the first time. For the first time. Maps weren't circulating back 2,000 years ago. I'm not quite sure when the first map was produced, but when the first map was produced, there was no reference to Israel. There were no lines drawn on that section of the world where Israel is today, showing the borders of Israel, because there was no Israel. The Jews had been scattered. They had ceased to be recognized as a nation. But in 1948, in the land of Israel, there was the reconstituting of the nation of Israel and a recognizing of it by a sizable number of nations throughout the world. And it's there today. Doesn't quite cover the territory that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and which David ruled over, etc., etc., etc. But nevertheless, they're back there. They've got a foothold, And God promised that he would bring them back. And that bringing of them back is pictured for us in what happened to Naomi. Let's read a few verses from chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 19. So they two, Naomi and Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Oh, her circumstances had changed from when she had left, and here she was coming back, a desolated woman, a widow, and without her children, and the only companion she had was Ruth, her widowed daughter-in-law. She says in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, name which means delightful, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. That's round about Passover time. I think I told you that. Turn to the last chapter now. The last chapter, the verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became a nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obad. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amen, and may the Lord bless our considerations of his word today. Now, as I said, there is also in this passage, particularly in the word I've just read to you, a foreshadowing of the return of the Jews to the land of Israel and the blessing that God will pour upon them there. Now, as I've said, aspects of this prophecy have taken place. The Jews have returned. They have begun to flood into their own land. They are now recognized as a nation, and they have fought wars to retain their land from those who would once again take it from them, but they'll never take it from them. Let me tell you that. I can stand here today and say with utter confidence, they'll never drive the Jews out, because God has brought them home. God has brought them home. But they are yet still in darkness. Look at the state of Naomi when she came home. We read that in the chapter 1, the verses 19 to 22. There she freely confesses, Don't call me Naomi, she says. That name means delightful, and I'm not in that state. Call me Mara, which means bitterness, because that's the state I'm in. That's what I feel. That's how I am. She was in bitterness because of the calamities that she had suffered, the losses that she had endured. She says she was empty. I went out of the land full. Why she went out, if she was full, is a question for another occasion. But she says, when I went out I was full, but here I am coming back again and I'm empty. And I'm afflicted. And I've been afflicted by the Lord. Verse 21. She sees God's hand in all that has happened to her. And she doubtless connects it with the fact that she had left the Lord and gone to Moab for help rather than looking to him. She was in a poor way then. A dark state. Unbelieving. Bitterness. That's how it is with Israel today. That's how it is with Israel today. The Jew is in darkness. Always well aware of the afflictions that have come upon him, and I'm sure, though they may not like to acknowledge it, they can see the hand of God's judgment in it. They would see that it's God that has brought upon us the experiences that we have had over the last 2,000 years. But they don't see any further than that. They don't recognize their sin and their rejection of their Messiah, even the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like Naomi. They're just in bitterness. That's how she was. You can see that bitter spirit as you read those verses 19 through to the end of the chapter 1. Don't call me Naomi, she says. Call me Mara. Oh, the poor woman was in bitterness as a result of her experiences. And so it is with Israel today. They're back in the land, but they are spiritually in darkness. Let me show you where God said he would bring them back, but he would bring them back unconverted. Will you turn to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel? We look at the chapter 36 first of all. Ezekiel, the chapter 36, and it's the verse 24 I want us to look at. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. They were scattered everywhere. Enemies occupied Israel, but it was still Israel's land. They're still arguing in the United Nations as to who owns the land. The Palestinians say it's our land. God says the land belongs to Israel. And God has a right to say that because he gave it to them. So here in Ezekiel, he says, I'll gather you from the nations into which you've been scattered and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, etc., etc. Now, I want you to notice here. It's so important, boys and girls, to notice. And there's a wee word there that's the key word. Then. So God says, here's my plan for you, Israel, in the future. I'm going to bring you back to your land. And when you're in your land, then I will sprinkle you with clean water. And I don't need to explain to you that that's a wonderful picture of conversion. Salvation. Being washed, cleansed, purified, made new. They're back in their land, but the conversion of Israel hasn't yet taken place. That lies in the future. Probably not in the too distant future. Turn to the next chapter, please, the chapter 37. Of Ezekiel, and we look at the verse 11. Now, this is a very famous chapter. This is the chapter that deals with the vision of dry bones. Remember? The valley filled with bones, dry bones that had been lying there dead for a long time. Verse 11, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. It's going to be a resurrection of the nation of Israel. Scattered, dead, but God's going to bring them back again and reform them as a nation in the land. Now, you can read on down there. Do you remember what happened? The prophet prophesied and the bones all shook together and began to join together and muscle and sinew and skin was formed upon them, but there was no life in them. And the prophet had to prophesy again and call on the wind. And the wind came and blew upon them, and they lived. Two stages in that wonderful resurrection. The bones all coming together, and then life coming into the reformed bodies. And they're gathered now in Israel, but they haven't but life, but that's coming. Going back again to Ruth, Naomi came into the land in misery, in darkness, and in bitterness. She was, in a sense, no better off than when she was in Moab. She had traveled from Moab to Judah, but she was the same miserable person. But it was when she came back again to Judah she was reacquainted with her kinsman redeemer. She had left Judah, never thinking upon the one who could help her and Elimelech in their poverty and in their distress. They had gone to Moab instead. There was living at that time Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. He could have helped them. He was a great man. He was rich. He had properties. But they never thought about him. You can see what this means, can't you? You can see it symbolizes the turning of the back by Israel upon the Lord. But there's a coming day when the Lord will gather them back into the land and they will become acquainted with their kinsman redeemer. When Naomi came back with Ruth, she had no thoughts of Boaz. She had no thoughts of Boaz. Look at chapter 2 of Ruth. We're told in verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. There he is, mighty man of wealth. He was that before they had left and went to Moab, but they never made an approach to him. They never availed themselves of the help that he could have given them, because he was God's appointed one to help them. He was their kinsman redeemer. But in the verse 19, we read that Ruth had gone out to glean as a poor person, for she and Naomi were poverty stricken. They were, as we say, on the bread line. They were living on charity. And Ruth went out to the fields to glean. And by the providence of God, for God had a hand in it, she came to the fields of Boaz and she was gleaning there. And in verse 19, she goes home that night with a great parcel of seed that she had gleaned. Of course, you remember how kind Boaz had been to her. And her mother-in-law, verse 19, said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, and here's light dawning, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." She suddenly realized, he's the one appointed to help us, that I have not thought about. Not even when I came home did I give thought to the fact that there's one appointed by God to help me. Never thought of him. But in the providence of God, Ruth has been brought into contact with him, and kindness has been shown to her. Presently, Bethlehem is under the heel of the enemy. It's part of the territory deemed Israel, but because of political pressures, it's ruled by Palestinians. So that if you go on a tour to Israel, the chances are you will be advised, don't go to Bethlehem. It's controlled by the Muslims, and it's a flashpoint. Dangerous place. Dangerous place. It's ruled by the enemy. But there's a day coming when that will end. As Joseph made himself known to his brothers down in Egypt, Genesis 43, on their second visit, when he saw them for the second time. So there is a coming day when the Lord Jesus will visit the land for the second time, and he will make himself known to his estranged brethren, and blessing will be brought to them. Let me quickly point out that as Naomi was called back to Israel at the time of the barley harvest, that's what we read in the last verse of chapter 1. Even so, there's a coming day of restoration for Israel once more, when the present famine will end. When Naomi came back, the land was flourishing. There was no famine. Today, Israel lives under a famine. Let me read to you words from Amos, the chapter 8, the verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Presently, Israel is quite prosperous, but she's enduring a famine of another kind, the famine spoken of here in the word of Amos, a famine of hearing the word of God. Israel's deaf, deaf to the words of God. That's the famine she's enduring at the moment, but that's going to come to an end. Just as the time of hardship for Naomi came to an end when she returned to the land, and lo and behold, there was a barley harvest taking place. There's a day of harvesting in Israel when the Lord Jesus will come. He who is the great Boaz will begin to distribute his riches amongst the people of Israel. I just close with one final thought. Renewed fellowship with Boaz by Naomi brought her great blessing. If you look at the last chapter, the verse 15, speaking of the child that was born, little Obed, verse 15 says, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age." It was as if life began again for Naomi. God was kind to her. And through Ruth and Ruth's union with Boaz, a child was born. And Naomi took the child, and though a grandmother, she began to really look after it, as if it was her own son. And it was as if Naomi was a young woman again. Life had been restored to her. This is what God is going to do for Israel. There is an interesting point that I would very much like you to observe. If you turn back to chapter 2 in the verse 11, "Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." The important words are found at the beginning of the verse. "It hath been fully showed me." Now look, boys and girls. Before Naomi gave a thought to Boaz, before Ruth knew anything at all about Boaz, Boaz had been thinking about them both. He had been thinking about them both. Today, Israel doesn't think about the Lord. Israel's like Naomi at that stage of our story, not giving a thought to the kinsman redeemer. But the kinsman redeemer is thinking about Naomi. God of heaven is thinking about Israel today. That's why it is so offensive for nations to rise up and condemn Israel and work against Israel and denounce Israel. That's contrary to what God's thinking today. God says to his people, "You pray for the peace of Jerusalem." He wants us to sympathize, to love, to pray for that people that are still in blindness and darkness and ignorance, because he's thinking about them, even though they're not thinking about him. You know, boys and girls, there's not one of you here today who is saved. But long before you were saved, the Lord was thinking about you. Before you were born, he was thinking about you. Before your mother was born, he was thinking about you. Before the earth was formed, he was thinking about you. Your name, dear child of God, was written in the book of life before the foundations of the world. Isn't it marvelous? Oh, how precious is our kinsman redeemer, who thought about us and came and died for us in order that we might live. We've gone on too long, but may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Lord, bless your word, I ask of thee. Oh, make the children to see Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, who loved us while we were yet enemies, who thought on us while we had no thought of him, and who had in his hands provisions for us, poor dying soul, while we were yet in our misery. Oh, may their hearts fill with love for the Saviour, and if there's any not saved, Lord, please make them to realize there's one standing there waiting to save them. Bless your word to every heart. Bless, O God, the school today. We commit it into thy hands and all that concerns it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.